What's up, ladies and gentlemen? This is Jeff Benjamin with Let's Talk iOS episode number one. Yes, indeed. It's Let's Talk iOS episode number one. I have my co-hosts, Sebastian Page and Cody Lee on the line. What's up, guys?
Hello.
How's it going, Jeff?
So what's the deal here? Let's Talk iOS. Sebastian, you want to give us some backstory real briefly?
Well, yes, I'm going to give you a quick backstory. We've been doing a different podcast for a while now, and we realized that the podcast we were doing was focusing more and more on iOS and Apple in general versus the previous topic of the podcast. And some readers, and us included, you, Cody, and you, Jeff, and I, were noticing that we were like kind of going away from our main topic, and we started thinking that it might be a good idea to do a podcast completely dedicated to iOS, Apple, and Mac in general. Of course, with a big, big focus on iOS and iPhone, iPad, because that's our area of expertise, if I may call it as is. So that's what we have now. We have this podcast. It's called Let's Talk iOS. It's episode one, hopefully one of many episodes. And we're going to be focusing on just that iOS stuff. And of course, we're probably going to be, you know, going out of our ways to talk about other stuff, technology-related stuff, or maybe personal stuff. But we'll try to keep it on focus, on target, about Apple, Mac, and iOS specifically.
So excited for this.
Yeah, so it's still the same team. It's you guys, me, and I think we have a pretty good gig going on right now. So we should ride it to the end.
Sounds awesome.
Yep.
So it's the sky's the limit, basically. Is that what you're saying?
The sky is the limit. Well, so far, I think the limit is also 250 megabytes of hosting plan. But yeah, this the sky is the limit, yes.
Awesome. So you've had the iPad for what? Going on, let's see.
4 days?
Came out Friday?
Days?
Or 3 days?
Yeah, three days.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 4 days, I guess. Uh-huh.
4 days. Yeah. I'd say 4 days.
So, how do you like it? Are you still switching to the mini? Or are you still going to...
Yeah, because we talked about that last week, and the three of us come from
iPad mini. Yeah.
So, it's a big step up to go from iPad mini as your main iPad and go to an iPad Air. And even though the iPad Air is thinner, lighter, and everything better than the previous iPad, the iPad 4, we were discussing last week that it's still a pretty heavy chunk in your hand. So right now, at this point, guys, I think I'm still going to have to return the iPad Air and get an iPad mini when it comes out. It's been like 4 days, and it's still, I mean, still very, very fresh. It's been only 3 or 4 days since we got the iPad Air. It doesn't feel right in my hand. It just feels too big. Everything seems too much for what I do, which again isn't much. You know, it's Twitter, web browsing, email, and RSS feed. That's all I do on my iPad. So far, yeah, the consensus is that I'm going to have to return the iPad Air and get the mini when it comes out. What about you?
Yeah, I completely agree. I actually got the chance to really test out the iPad Air's portability this weekend. We went out of town, about a two-hour car trip there and back, and I was able to try to use it there and in the car, and then when we eventually got there, and I'm still noticing that it's one, it's very big. Not only does that make it kind of tougher to hold, you know, when you're kind of leaning back, trying to hold it with one hand for long periods of time, but I also found it kind of tough to carry. Now, I don't have like a specific case for it. I'm aware that like, you know, I could get an Apple Smart Case or something that could keep it protected, but I ended up having to take a full-size laptop bag just so I would make sure not to scratch it or ding it up in any way. So I found it kind of tough to carry. I also found that it felt really odd to use in public. I've used my mini in public before, and it's not so, what's the word I'm looking for, ostentatious, if that's the right word, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just, when you have this huge tablet in your hands, it draws attention, and I think you said this on last week's podcast, Jeff, that it looks gaudy almost. you almost look like you're trying to draw attention. And I really wasn't. I was just trying to do some quick internet surfing. So
why are you saying that? I mean, the iPad has been around for like three years.
Three years.
I mean, you see iPads everywhere around. You can't go to Starbucks without seeing like four or five iPads in there. So I don't really get why you say it's like ostentatious like this.
Well, here's the thing. I wasn't in Starbucks. I was at like a Chili's restaurant or something like that. I was, you know, just in places. I agree. Starbucks, iPads are super normal. Any kind of coffee joint with free Wi-Fi, that's super normal. I would even say in like libraries and schools, super normal. But there's still those places where, you know, like a restaurant or something like that, that where I think they kind of stick out. Where if it was my iPad mini, I could lay it flat on the table and it just would not, I would not draw attention to it at all. So I don't know. I guess, you know, different people are going to have different views on this. Some people think it's perfectly normal. But I just found it uncomfortable. And maybe that's because I was a mini user before. But I found it kind of uncomfortable. I didn't want to keep using it for very long while we were sitting at this table. So those are the downsides. Now, I did find a lot of pluses as I forced myself to use this over the weekend. It actually felt lighter over time. It feels like it's just as light as my iPad mini is with the smart cover. So it's as light as advertised. It's very powerful. I used it to an app called SplashTop to VNC back into my home Mac computer, and I was able to do some work, do some different things there. It's still not quite a laptop replacement in that regard, but it was very powerful. Everything was very quick. I was impressed with that. I tested some games on it. Speakers were great, but it's just, I guess, for my needs, and just like you, Sebastian, I don't do much. It's a tough spot, right, between your iPhone and your laptop. If you have a laptop and if you have an iPhone, that space between them gets really narrow. If you have like a desktop computer, maybe no laptop, there's a huge gap, right, between your iPhone and your desktop.
Yeah, right.
But if you have a laptop, that space gets really narrow, and I don't know if I need a 10-inch device there.
Well, actually, guys, sorry, I'm going to have to put you on hold for a second because I think UPS may be here.
UPS is here.
Let me check.
All right.
Keep talking, though.
He said keep talking.
Okay, we're going to keep talking.
What did you? I mean, does that make sense, Sebastian?
Yeah,
do you kind of agree with me there?
It does. But see, I mean, to me, I wouldn't even bring my iPad at Chili's in the first place. that's what, you know, doesn't really make. No, it does. It's not that it doesn't make sense. It does make sense,
right.
And it's fine to bring your iPad at Chili's. But I don't see myself actually is playing with my iPad, like eating my ribs. I have like, you know, like barbecue sauce all over my fingers and all over the mouth. And like,
no. Okay, don't focus on that part. That was such a small part of my little brief review there. Focus on, don't you agree? I mean, you have an Air and you have a desktop.
Right.
Doesn't it feel like you just don't need a 10-inch device right there?
Well, I would if I was trying to be more productive with my iPad. And I'm not to be more productive with my iPad because I know that no matter what I do and no matter what some people are able to do with the iPad, I just don't believe they're as productive with the iPad as they are with a laptop. And, you know, this guy from Federico Vittici from Mac Stories. You know, this guy is a freaking warrior, you know, like he tries to do everything with his iPad. And I mean, that's what I gather from reading his very amazing site. He seems to be, and he has all of his processes in place to do like every little thing. And to me, it sounds more cumbersome to work your way up there to make it, a convenience, you know, because no matter what, you still have this little keyboard, you still have this little screen, and you can't just like copy paste things easily. You can't just change tabs very quickly. I mean, there's many things in our job, in what we do, that I can't do with an iPad as much as I would love to. And I tried like a year or two ago, I was like, I'm going to try to work from my iPad and can I replace my MacBook Air or Pro at the time.
Exactly.
And it just didn't work. It just...
You guys, no. I cannot agree with that.
Oh, you're back?
Yeah, I'm back. Did you see the post I posted on Twitter?
Yeah, okay, that's perfect. You're right back on time. We can talk about this because I don't know if you were listening to what Cody and I were saying, but I was just saying that it doesn't feel you can be as productive on an iPad as you are on a laptop. And I'm pretty confident that if we do a contest and we have a task, several tasks to accomplish, say, write a 1,000-word blog post with 6 images and with proper linking to sources and everything, can you do this in a given time? I think I would be much faster than you are on your iPad. I would be much faster on my Mac or whatever laptop than you are on your iOS device.
I mean, yeah, you would, but that's not the entire picture. I think you're missing sort of some of the benefits.
Okay.
You would be faster in most cases, yes.
Right.
But significantly faster? I don't know. That's still, depending on your workflow, that's not necessarily true. Also, you have the benefit of being completely distraction-free on your iPad because, no, there is no multitasking. There's no true multitasking. When you're focused on a particular task, that's the task that gets all of your attention. And I don't know. I think the portability of the iPad is lends a lot to working from it. And I think it's definitely possible now more so than ever to get real work done on an iPad, especially with new features in iOS 7 like iCloud Keychain. Dude, the post I wrote today, obviously, it would have been a little, it's my first post with an iPad. So I'm still getting used to it, but it's so much better now than it was 2 years ago on an iPad 2 or whatever. It's just blogging from an iPad is now possible just using the native WordPress. Like you can just log in directly from the actual site, like not using an app. It's so much better now than it was, you know, a few years ago, even just a year ago. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. I think you should try it out just to see. Mm-hmm. Like you can upload images directly from your iPad.
Right.
I don't know. It just.
So can you walk us through this post that you published in IDB a few minutes ago with some thoughts on iPad Air? So again, this thought was entirely made on iPad, right?
Completely.
So we're talking photos and videos, video editing, video upload.
Everything.
Obviously, the typing has been done. I can see you have the proper tagging for the post too. So can you walk us through how you did, what was your workflow here? How did it start and what did you do? How did you make it happen?
My workflow, first of all, let me mention that I use an iPhone and an iPad to do this post.
Right.
The iPhone was used for video. Mm-hmm. and pictures, and the iPad was used for typing and uploading and editing.
Okay.
So I used basically 3 apps to get this done. Safari, iMovie, and GarageBand. Those 3 apps were used to get this post completed. So walking through, I guess first thing is just writing the post. That was obviously pretty easy, and just using Safari browser or using Editorial, which is an app by Greg Pierce, who I don't know if you guys are familiar with Pythonista or...
Yes.
So that's an app that does a lot of automation and stuff like that. Makes it easy to like do tagging and all sorts of really cool stuff.
Now, did you use a physical keyboard, Jeff, or did you on-screen type?
On-screen type.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think I'm pretty good at that. I mean, obviously, I found a couple of typos in there, but I think I'm pretty proficient at typing on-screen now, especially for some reason the iPad Air seems better. I can't really put my finger on why that is, but it seems better for typing.
Well, do you use... Here's your next question. Do you use a full-size keyboard or do you split keyboard and use your thumbs?
Full-size.
Okay, so that's why it's easier, right, than on the Mini because it's a lot larger. The buttons are a lot larger.
Yeah, I don't think... I mean, if you just want to have an iPad, not any separate like keyboard cases or stuff like that, the iPad Air is the best way to go for typing, hands down.
Sure.
Yeah. So I guess, Sebastian, if you want me to walk you through the post, of course, I wrote the post and then I created a video just using my iPhone's camera, cut it all up using iMovie.
On iPhone? Did you move it to the iPad and edit it on iMovie for iPad?
Yeah, I used, what's that?
AirDrop?
AirDrop, yeah, exactly, to transfer. And that's so great. That's what makes, like, the workflow is just so much improved now because mm-hmm. of AirDrop, just being mm-hmm. able to quickly transfer files back and forth, images back and forth between both devices. You don't have to be on a Wi-Fi network. You don't have to upload to Dropbox and then, you know, pull it back down. So that makes it a lot easier. And then, like, iCloud Keychain on Safari, like, being able to log in without having to, like, go into 1Password, copy my password, paste it in Safari. Just being able to log in instantly makes it so much less friction involved in, you know, creating the post. And then, of course, sure. I can upload directly to YouTube from iMovie. And yeah, that was pretty much it. I mean,
interestingly enough, like, the video you embedded on the post, have you noticed? I don't know if you've noticed, but it doesn't have the black bars at the bottom and at the top.
I know, that's so weird.
Right. I've been looking. Well, I haven't been searching the solution for this, but I've been looking at videos that are posted online, and it appears to be like a kind of a random problem. It seems like some videos we embed on IGB don't have the black bars. Some of them do. Most of yours usually do. This one doesn't. I don't think the problem comes from the site or any kind of plugin we might be running or somewhat something. I think the problem comes from the uploading or something on YouTube.
Something. Yeah, there's obviously, I'm thinking it may be like just uploading from YouTube's, you know, their desktop.
Native site.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Native browser. Like, this upload went directly from iMovie to YouTube. And granted, the movie, like, the video wasn't, like, you know, top tier quality or anything like that, but I thought it was pretty decent.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Did you re-record audio on top of the video?
I did GarageBand for audio.
Okay.
And the nice thing about on the iPad Air is it's so fast that I can actually run GarageBand in the background and do my audio recording while iMovie is running.
Okay.
And up. So okay. GarageBand's running in the background. It's just pulling in any audio that comes through. And then I run iMovie on top of that to sort of get my markers right and all that. So you can basically run two apps at once like that. Pretty powerful stuff.
And how long did it take you to do all this, to get the post composed and everything uploaded and posted?
It's hard to say because I started on it, I think, last night.
Right.
And I just went to sleep and woke up this morning and I had other things to do, and it's just been a really busy day. But I think total time was probably about 45 minutes.
That's it.
Yeah, I guess
that's
total,
pretty impressive.
Without any kind of, you know, interruptions, it was probably about 45 minutes. And I'm sure it could be much faster than that once I get the workflow. Like, mm-hmm. that was what a lot of experimenting, like with GarageBand and uploading. I think I had to upload twice or something like that. And but I think the iPad Air is a serious, like, for real, no joke, it's a serious work machine. Like, you could actually get stuff done with the iPad.
So will you be using that in the future instead of your Air? I'm sorry, I guess to clarify, instead of your MacBook Air.
Yeah.
You know what? I think I want to go a week. I want to try an experiment where I just do not work from the MacBook Air. I want to try that. And I want to make like a series of blog posts about my experiences and, you know, the possibility of this. And is it something that's possible or not?
Didn't you run such an experiment about a year ago?
I think so, but I got it. It was so terrible. Like, the experience was so bad. I don't think I ever finished it.
Uh-huh.
It was so hard to work on an iPad then, just because it was slow and the multitasking was bad. Like, the video was bad. Another thing I have to say is that video capture on the iPad Air is a lot better taking photos. Like, I can actually take photos with it now, and I wouldn't be ashamed to do so. So I think it's, this is a powerful, powerful machine. I think it shouldn't be slept on as far as how much potential is there.
Right.
So I think this is funny. If you haven't been listening to the last few episodes, Jeff's been on a minimalist kick in the last couple of months, and he actually downgraded from an iMac to a MacBook Retina, MacBook Pro with Retina, to a MacBook Air, and he is now trying to work his way down to just an iPad. That's incredible, Jeff.
Just an iPad with no keyboard code.
Yeah. If everything goes well, by the end of next year, it'll be working from just an iPhone.
Right?
I don't think I could do that, but yeah, man.
iWatch next fall. He's just on his wrist, just typing up posts. Jeff, you got to cut it out, man. This is not healthy.
I think you guys should actually, like, once I get the workflow down, like 100%, I think you guys should really try it. But since you're downgrading, or I guess that's not necessarily a downgrade.
No, yeah. Downsizing, maybe.
Downsizing. I don't really know how possible it is to work from iPad Mini.
You know, I wouldn't want to work from Mini. Here's my bottom line, and everything you said rang true, Jeff, because what I'm discovering is it's tough for me to justify carrying both an iPad and a laptop. If you're going to go somewhere, even if it's just like an overnight thing, it's tough for me to justify carrying both. So I would want to do one or the other. Now, if I had work to do, I would want to take my MacBook. That's how it stands now. But if I just want to do light browsing, I would want to take an iPad. Well, I would want to be able to not have to take both of those and be able to do light browsing and work. And I don't feel comfortable at this moment. I would love to try out your workflow if you get that down. But I don't feel comfortable at the moment doing full posts, doing work on my iPad. And so that's where I stand. That's a big reason why I'm taking this back, because I think you're right. This is for people who want to be really productive on the iPad. And that's just not me at the moment. I'm very much more comfortable doing work on a MacBook.
Yeah, that's understandable. And I agree with you. I don't think, like, this is not something you want to take. You don't want to take both. It's either one or the other.
Right.
When you have
if you have an Air,
yeah, exactly.
A MacBook Air, it's like you're almost carrying the same device, you know, sans maybe a physical keyboard and then some of the multitasking and other features of Mac OS X. I really think the iPad could benefit from, you know, stealing some features from OS X Mavericks maybe in the next year or two. It'd be nice to see Apple bring some of those over.
What features in particular?
I would like to see multitasking. We've seen it. We've seen other manufacturers do it where you do like split windows, split app screens.
Right.
And things like that. I don't know how much trouble you had with the non-multitasking, but I don't know. Maybe you kind of put me on the spot here. That was just like a pass-by comment, and you're like, "Well, which one specifically?" And I can't for life of me think of any. But you know what I mean. Just, I guess, tell me how multitask, not having, you know, the ability to have multiple windows open, worked for you.
Yeah, it's been pretty good. Like I said earlier, that I have a tendency, like, as someone with ADD, like, for real, I have a tendency to get sidetracked if they have a lot going on. And
right.
One thing I can say about the iPad is that if you have one window open, you have that window open and nothing else. Sure, you could get a notification to come in, but
that sounds like the cheap excuse to defend iOS for not having true multitasking. You know, oh yeah, it's better you can't multitask, because at least you have to focus on what you're doing.
No, I'm not saying it's better. No, I don't want to say that. I mean, it's not better because you can't multitask, but if you're not going to be able to, at least see the benefit in not being able to. And that's what I'm just trying to put a positive spin on the fact that it doesn't have multitasking.
Well, I'll tell you what, I have ADD too, and just being on an iPad is not going to stop me from going off the rails. I'll open another tab in Safari and search Wikipedia for ridiculous, you know, I'll be watching a movie and see like Will Ferrell or something and be like, I have to know everything about him when he was growing up. And I'll get stuck on Wikipedia for like 45 minutes and come out the other end down the rabbit hole. Just what happened?
Right.
Same on YouTube. I'll look up a video or something, maybe even just something iOS related, right? Just trying to see a demo of something. And then I'll see something over on the right-hand side, like recommended play. You should totally watch this funny thing that happened at the award show last night. And then like 4 hours later, I'm, oh man, I got work to do.
Yeah. That's though, I think is not due to you. I think it's YouTube being really good at matching some stuff that you may want to watch against other videos you're already watching.
Cody.
Yeah, it's not you, Cody. It's not you.
Yeah, but guys, I really think that of, you know, all the iPads previous to this one, this obviously, I mean, goes without saying that this is the best machine for working. And I think a lot of people are going to see that you can get some real stuff done with an iPad. You can't build a website. You can't, you know, do some of the more advanced things. And you probably couldn't even record this podcast on a iPad, but, you can do a lot of things that you normally wouldn't have been able to do in the past efficiently.
Yeah. Fair, and that's exciting, enough. Right? Because that's what everybody's been kind of clamoring for. I don't know how many times I've heard people go, Apple should totally make a MacBook Air with a touchscreen. And if you've known Apple, if you've heard Tim Cook speak, that's not going to happen. They spend so much time just kind of poking fun at Microsoft and some of the other people that are really trying hard to combine like netbooks and tablets, and they're just not working, right? It's mediocre on both sides. It's not great and great. Like the iPad's great and the MacBook's great, but if you try to put them together, you're going to have a lot of trade-offs that make each one less great. So I don't think that's going to happen, but they're getting really close, it sounds like, Jeff, from what you're saying. They're getting really close to doing that with just the iPad alone, right? Bringing it closer to a computer.
Yeah.
An actual personal computer. What were you going to say, Sebastian? I'm sorry.
I wasn't going to say anything. Don't apologize. It's fine.
So, I mean, do you kind of agree, though, Sebastian? Where do you stand? Would you benefit from using just an iPad and maybe selling or putting up your MacBook Air?
No, I don't even want to try anymore. No, I'm serious. And I do other things. I don't think it's for me, you know. Like I like the comfort of my fast MacBook Air and the keyboard and everything. And there's still like things I still can't do with an iPad. I'm gonna say my accounting software, for example. Well, I use QuickBooks Online, right? And you can't open it up on the iPad. You just can't. QuickBooks has an app. But it just does like a fraction of what the full web version does. So I can't even like some basic stuff like this. I couldn't even, you know, run the business. And that's talking about running the business here. It's not about just writing a blog post, which I could do with an iPad for sure. I can write a blog post and add a picture and two links in there. But on my day-to-day running the site and like the back end of the site mostly, I just can't.
There's no way.
There is just no way. And I mean, there might be a way, you know. But if I have to go way out of my way, and if it takes me more time than it does, it's just the benefit is not worth it. The benefit of portability is just not worth it because my MacBook Air is pretty damn portable to begin with. So So that's something that I have no interest in right now. Right now, things could change next year, but right now, I'm not even looking to work from my iPad. I just want to enjoy my iPad and have it with me to again do my tweeting and read some articles and send some emails and reply to some messages sometimes, schedule an event on the calendar. And check the app store for new apps, and that's it. That's all I want to do. And again, it's a preference, you know. It's a personal preference, and I'm not being stubborn saying I will never work on an iPad ever. You know, things could change, but as of now, it's not my cup of tea.
Yeah, and if your thing was just all you did was blog posts, like that's all you did, then you would probably be much more receptive.
I would definitely consider it because I did it with when I got the iPad 2. I wrote a few blog posts and it was not very convenient, but I did it just to try it and it works. You know, it's pretty fairly simple to, you know, put a title, type some words, and include some links and put an image at the top.
Yeah.
Back in the days, though, like 2 years ago when I tried, like the WordPress app was not nearly as good as it is now.
Oh, and I don't even use that. Like, that's still garbage to me.
I don't use that. I mean, I would not use that. I would use probably Poster. I'm not even sure it works on iPad, though.
Poster is not even available anymore either.
But it was updated, though.
Yeah, it was updated, but you had to still have the app.
Well, you still had to own the app before, yes.
Right. Yeah.
So if you own the app, you can get the update. If you didn't purchase the app before, you can't purchase it, which means, I mean, you can't have the update, obviously, if you can't purchase it in the first place.
Yeah, but I just think the native like website is way better than any app because you can do featured images easily.
Right.
You can upload directly easily. You can do your alignments easily. It's basically just like working from your Mac.
Mm-hmm.
There really isn't any differences. There may be some subtleties, but not anything that's a deal breaker. You know, I'm going to report back to you guys and let you know how this is going, but I think this is definitely something that I'm going to, you know, really take seriously, especially now that I have T-Mobile's LTE iPad.
I was just going to ask that. Now, since I was kind of out of town this weekend, I didn't see what went down with that. I know that initially we were all excited for T-Mobile's free 200 megabytes and all this that they were offering with the iPad Air. What did you find out about that? And did you have to trade in your iPad or did you originally have an LTE model?
It was just a nightmare. I woke up.
It's been a nightmare for them too,
yeah,
hasn't it?
Yeah. I went to the T-Mobile store. Like I called like three of them and they all reiterated the same line that no, you have to be a customer. Or if you're not a customer, you have to pay $10 or something like that to get on, you know, T-Mobile. That's not the case at all. What I did is I just took back my Wi-Fi iPad to the Apple store, returned it, and got a 32-gig T-Mobile LTE iPad with the SIM card already installed. And then all you do literally is you just go through the setup on the iPad. You don't even have to step foot inside a T-Mobile store, and then you get the free starter data, quote-unquote, that's 200 megabytes every month.
Wow. So you don't even have to mess with T-Mobile.
No, I don't even need to put my credit card in. If I just want to use starter data for the rest of my life, you know, or the life of the tablet, then I could just do that.
Now, does that just pull from your iTunes account then?
Nope. You just create a T-Mobile account, like when you first are going through the provisioning or the setup of the iPad. And
okay.
It creates you an account. It sends you an email. You verify your email address and you get 200 megabytes of data.
Wow. See, that's awesome because after reading, like I said, it's just been a PR nightmare for these guys. For anybody who missed this, T-Mobile advertised, hey, we're going to give you 200 megabytes of free monthly data service on our network if you buy a T-Mobile iPad. They said no strings attached. And then Jeff found out, and a lot of people found out on launch day last week, that they were told at least you had to pay $10 per month if you weren't already T-Mobile customers. You didn't already have your phones on their network. So that was going to be a bad deal, right? Because that went completely against how they originally advertised it. I guess since they've either backtracked or they've kind of reworded things, and it sounds like Jeff, that from Jeff's experience, that they're actually allowing you to get that 200 megabytes for free and not making you pay regardless of whether you're a T-Mobile customer. Because you're a Verizon customer, aren't you, Jeff?
Yep.
Okay. So that's super cool to me because now I'm still more than likely going to return the iPad Air, but when I get the Mini, I'm very interested in getting the cellular edition for T-Mobile so I can, you know, I'm not away from home a lot, so even though 200 megabytes is really small, that might come in handy in a pinch.
It's good for like push note, like emails, like just you're just using it for that just to keep your emails coming in. That alone will take care of that for a month. Know, every month.
Exactly.
You're not going to get 200 megabytes of push notifications
right
coming in there. So yeah.
Sebastian, are you thinking cellular or are you going to stick with Wi-Fi just because you're at home most of the time?
I'm going to stick with Wi-Fi because I'm home most of the time, or because in most places I go with my iPad, there's Wi-Fi.
Starbucks.
Yeah. And if by any chance there is no Wi-Fi there, I still have my iPhone, which I can tether and use as a hotspot. So I can see in your video, Jeff, about your thoughts about the iPad Air, you took a little jab at me by saying some people say that you can use your iPhone as a hotspot and to get internet on your iPad, but this is not convenient. I was like, oh, I see. I see how it goes.
He said,
oh. That's just directly for me. But yeah, so I wouldn't have much use for a cellular iPad. That would be great. That's great to have. I mean, if tomorrow Apple said, we're going to give you an iPad mini cellular and we're going to give you like free AT&T service, I'd be like, sure. You know, I would not say no to that. But obviously, that's not going to happen. And yeah, I'm totally fine with my Wi-Fi version.
Yeah, I just think that especially with T-Mobile offering 200 megabytes every month for life your device, I think that pretty much pays for the $100 price increase of the cellular model. And not only that, the resale value is, you know, ticked up somewhat as well. Because, you know, even if you think, all right, I'm never going to use this data or I don't want to pay extra every month, well, you don't have to because T-Mobile's giving you 200 megabytes free. And, you know, then you also have the opportunity to make more on the back end when you sell your device.
Right.
Well, and it's, well, like you said, Jeff, it kind of pays for itself because even if you only go a year, it's at least $10 a month for this extra 200 megabytes. It might even be 20. But let's, for the benefit of the doubt, let's say 10 bucks over a 12-month span, that's 120 bucks. You've already basically paid back for the cost of the additional cost for buying the cellular model, and most people are going to keep it for longer than a year, right?
Yeah, I don't know. It's yeah, I can see both ways because I kind of flip flopped on that as well. Like my iPad Mini, it was a cellular model, but I ended up like deactivating. I told Verizon, no, I'm not paying you $10 a month for this. I'll just tether. But you know, I see it both ways. Tethering gets you by in a pinch. It's nice to do that, but if you're always on the go, cellular model is the way to go.
Definitely. Yes. In this case. Hey, as I'm playing with my iPad and we were talking here, I've noticed something. I don't know if you guys have noticed the same thing. When you are into an application, any application, for example, you are in the mail app, and when you press the home button, you have this animation where the app goes back, you know, to its icon and you're on your home screen. Do you notice any kind of slugginess in this animation?
What's going on?
Is there an airplane taking off in your house, Cody?
Cody has a steam cleaner going on. Right?
I don't know what that was. I don't know if it was a large truck or we actually don't live far from, not an airport, but it's like a mini, it's called a residential airport. So it's like people who own their own planes have houses on this landing strip. And I know we only live like a mile or two down from that, so that might have been with that. That was loud, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I was covering the top of my microphone going, please don't let them hear this. And you guys were like, oh my gosh.
Everything is shaking in the house. You have like the china, the glasses and the plates like shaking. Like,
right. Does that happen? Don't let them hear this on the podcast.
So you said there was sluggishness with the animations?
Yeah. And you know, last week we talked about it and I said, hey, I turned on reduce motion. And this weekend I was like, I'm going to turn it off because I want to have the full iOS experience on my iPad. I don't want to, you know, I just want to have the full deal, the full Monty. And so I just noticed these animations are very sluggish.
I'm not seeing that.
Really?
Well, I turned it off as soon as you said you turned yours off, or turned on, I guess, the reduced motion. And so I think it's super fast. But I have noticed there are some sluggish points, and I think it's just in iOS 7. I remember a lot of people saying that iOS 7 for iPad has not felt like it was a final version. Mm-hmm. It felt more like a beta because Apple was supposedly a little bit behind on it, right?
Yeah.
There was even some talk when iOS 7 hit, or when iOS 7, before it was released to the public, that the iPad version might even be delayed to like a 7.01 or 7.1 release just because it was so far behind. But I have noticed, especially Spotlight, if you try to swipe down on the screen in Spotlight, it's been very sluggish for me.
Yeah, I just tried Spotlight, and else, yes, for sure.
Yeah, everything else feels so fast. So like the data feels fast, apps and things load so quickly, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of quirks like that in the actual UI that it just kind of stutters and you're going, I got the 64-bit A7. What's going on here?
Yeah, I think iOS 7 is just still coming into its own.
It's still a work in progress.
Yeah, definitely.
Very much. But it's still my favorite version yet.
Are you loving it on the iPad, Sebastian?
Yeah, I love it. It's beautiful. I'm okay with the icons now. I just don't see them again. I don't see them anymore. I mean, I see them, but I made peace with that. It's really the iTunes Store icon and the video icon. I just have a hard time. But everything else is is pretty good. I mean, I love it. You know, I love iOS 7 on my iPhone and I love it on my iPad. And I think it would be very hard right now to go back to something iOS 6 looking.
Ugh, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
Well, you know, my iPad mini is still on iOS 6 because I just haven't updated it yet. And it's this iPad Air is the first time that I have really played with iOS 7 on an iPad type interface.
Yep.
And it's different to me. I don't know if I like the huge, the dock icons. I don't know if I like that part at the bottom. I think I actually prefer iOS 6 in that regard. But it's still so fresh to me that I'll, like you said, Sebastian, I'll end up getting over it.
Sweet, guys. Do we have some other cool things we can talk about? What happened to you, Jeff? You were, it's some, like 30 minutes ago or 20 minutes ago, you, someone rang the doorbell and you got a package delivered. What was it?
It's a Nexus 5.
Oh, tell us more.
Get that out of here.
Well, it's the direct competitor to the iPhone 5S from Google. It's their new Nexus phone, and it looks pretty sweet. I haven't unboxed it yet because I want to do an unboxing for you guys, and then I will post it on IDB.
Cool.
But I'm looking forward to doing some benchmark comparisons to this from with the iPhone 5S and doing some other screen comparisons and maybe photos.
Photos would be nice, like a few photos or a video would be nice. Maybe just to have a good idea of the differences in terms of quality.
And I think I'm going to try at least, I don't know if this will be a normal thing, but at least for most of the big competitor, head-to-head competitors, I'm going to try to do more like hands-on like comparisons, feature comparisons.
Now, how much was the model of Nexus 5 you got? And I guess what model was it?
I think it's 440 something. Like it's the white 32 gigabyte Nexus 5.
Okay. See, I was really intrigued by the Nexus 4 because at some point the entry level price dropped down to $199, and I thought, you know what? That's perfect. I can justify spending that kind of money because that's full retail.
Yeah,
that wasn't even subsidized cost. That was full retail, and I didn't pull the trigger. And I've heard the 5 was coming. I thought I'll wait for that. And it's considerably more expensive, isn't it?
Yeah, well, not much. I think the Nexus 4 when it first came out wasn't it like $300? This one, the bottom model, was like $349, I believe. So it's not. No, it's pretty reasonable.
Pretty comparable. Okay.
Yeah. I will say that I thought the Nexus 4 was pretty trash.
Really?
It was pretty weak. Yeah.
I've heard so many people, including people who were in the Apple camp, so to speak, journalists that, did the Apple beat. I heard that they really liked the Nexus 4. You didn't like it at all?
I did not like it. I thought the design was horrible. It did not feel good in your hand. It just, I didn't like the look of it. But I think this new 5 is pretty nice looking. I'm looking forward to unboxing it.
Yeah, hopefully we can talk a little about it more next week. You can, once you have like a week time of playing with it, you can give us more details and give us your feeling about it.
Yeah, sure will. I'll be doing that today.
All right, folks.
This has been like the first episode. It's, it's exciting.
It is exciting. It's new frontier, kind of, but actually not so new for us because we've been talking about this stuff for a long time.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe next week we can talk about some of our favorite apps, because that's like something that we've never done, really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know what? I have my little notebook next to me, and it's something I wrote down on it. I wrote Fantastical, because that's something I actually wanted to talk about today, because Fantastical 2 for iOS 7 was released last Wednesday. And I mean, that was something that I had been waiting for a while, and I think a lot of people had been waiting for it for a while. So I just wanted to talk about it briefly. Do you guys use Fantastical?
Yes.
I do not.
I do.
You do? You have?
Oh, am I? I'm the black sheep here.
Yeah. What do you use, Cody?
just, you know, I just use
You don't use the stock calendar app. Do you?
I really do, because, you know, I'm not a...
You're not a scheduler?
I'm not an in-demand kind of person. Like, I think I've tried to use those apps, and I've set up a bunch, you know, as I'm reviewing apps for IDB, and it's funny because I put in, like, just because I don't have, like, a whole bunch of events to schedule, I'll schedule, like, when all my bills come out from my bank account, and then it's just, like, trash day. We have certain days. In
the most boring calendar ever.
It really is. Yeah. It's like in Texas, we have up until this point had like a, you had to water on certain days because we were in kind of a drought. And so I put the days I was allowed to water. And every once in a while, like to spice things up, I don't know if you've ever caught this in my reviews, but I'll put something really awesome, like lunch with Neil Diamond, just to kind of make it spruce it up a little bit. But yeah, I don't really have much of a need for all these features on a calendar.
Yeah, to me, I mean, I don't use calendars much. I don't schedule many things. I certainly do not schedule the trash pickup date and stuff like that. but it's just the stock iOS 7 calendar app is just so how to say that?
Bland
and. It's so bland that it makes it very hard to see what's going on your calendar. And I used it for a while, and I tried to. Every time I would use the stock calendar app on iOS 7, I would have to think about how I'm going to do things. I was like, okay, I want to go back to the month view. I'm going to have to click there. I want to go back to the annual view. And then there was always like a split second of trying to figure out how to do this, because it wasn't clear enough to me. And it's still not clear enough to me, like the way you have to do things on the stock calendar app on iOS 7. So I had been using Calendars 5 by the fine folks at Readle. You know, they do like all these PDF docs, apps, and scanners and all that stuff.
Yeah.
They have a bunch of productivity apps. So I used Calendars 5. And for the last month, I think I was using the beta version of Fantastical. And I was so excited about this, because that was my app on iOS 6 for calendars. And that's my new app for iOS 7. Oh, I see there's an update for the beta version today. So install. Okay. So I'm very excited about this. I mean, to me, like Fantastical is, well, some people say it's the way the stock calendar app should be, and it's definitely like this. But it kind of reminds me of the iOS 6 calendars app in its layout, but with visual cues that are much easier. You know, like I don't have to think. When I look at my calendar at Fantastical, I have my monthly view in front of me, or I have the day ticker. I don't have to think about how I'm going to do things or what's going on in 3 days or 5 days, because I can see it right away. There's no like tapping. There's no moving around. It's just right here, right there.
It's a serial interface. Like it's all right. This event, then the next event, then the next event. It's not like a whole bunch of spaces in between them. You know exactly what your forecast looks like for, you know, the next month or so, just with a couple of swipes.
And of course you have the little colored dots on each day you have an event scheduled. So for example, I have my own schedule. It's a blue calendar, and I have my wife's calendar. It's a pink calendar, and I have the travel calendar. It's a red calendar. So if I see there is on, on the 19, for example, I see three pink dots on their 19. So I see there is three events that were all scheduled by my wife. And I can just go there and see what's going on. I mean, it's very clear, you know, like when I'm looking for a travel document or something, I can see all my travel stuff because it's a red calendar. It's very, it's visually simple and very indicative of what you need to do, or what's going on your calendar. And you don't have any of that on the stock calendar app because it's just some gray and some white, basically, and some red. So it makes it super hard to see, like, okay, I see a dot on the 19, but I have no idea what it is until I tap on it.
I love the main thing I like about Fantastical is just the textual input. Like,
yeah.
Being able to type real, like, transcribe actual appointments. Like, next week I need to go to the doctor. You just literally type that in and then it automatically knows when next week is, and it will put go to the doctor in there for you.
Here's my question for you guys, because I haven't played a whole lot with it, especially the new version. When you get a text message or an email with not an event, but it'll say like dinner tonight at 9:30 question mark. I know how it works in iOS 7 when there's some kind of time like that, it'll have a hyperlink and you can automatically add that to calendar. Does that work with Fantastical?
Well, it adds it to the stock calendar app, and Fantastical grabs its data directly from the calendar application, from the stock calendar application.
Okay.
So yes, it works. But, you know, so if you send me a text saying, let's meet tonight at 10, dinner tonight. Dinner tonight at 10. Okay, I'm going to tap on the link. It says create event, show in calendar or copy. I'm going to say create event. And then it pulls up the stock calendar app sheet where you just type in the title, because in this it wasn't smart enough to figure it out. So yeah, I mean, it adds it directly to the stock calendar application, and Fantastical grabs its data from there. When you first open Fantastical, it just says, can we have access to your calendars? Just like when you have a new photo application, it says, can we have access to your photo stream or camera roll and all that stuff.
Okay, yeah, good example.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so... It's a very, I mean, it's, to me, it's the best calendar application out there, hands down. And some people are going to say it's expensive and you have to pay for it again. Yes, it is. You have to pay for it again. I wouldn't call it expensive. It started at $2.99 and for a limited time, and I think it's going to go to $4.99. So it started at $3 and it's going to go to $5. I mean, way worth it. I mean, if you schedule more than one event a week on your calendar, yes, it's worth it. If you never schedule anything, there's no reason to buy a calendar app to begin with. So,
yes, indeedy.
Yeah.
So that was Sebastian's take of Fantastical, his favorite calendar app.
Yeah, very stoked that it's finally out and everybody gets to enjoy it.
I like that idea, though, Jeff. I think maybe like next week, or we should, you know, at some point do like a segment on what's on your home screen. Because I think that's important, right? Like whatever apps are on your home screen, those are ones you're obviously using the most.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting to see what everybody's using.
Right. And I think we need to share with our listeners and our readers, like some of the, you know, the things we found to be more productive, or just the stuff that we do on our devices and the apps we used that we enjoy.
Well, actually, that's funny you mention it, because last week I created a new page on IDB that I haven't advertised or shared with anyone really, but it's there. You can access it if you go to IDB, and if you go in the header, if you type, if you put your mouse on top of extras there in the header, there is a new page called Best iPhone Apps. And that's something that I just looked at all my apps. And the one I use the most, and which I consider to be the best in their category, respective category. And I was thinking about having you guys chime in and add your own, you know. I know Jeff, for example, you're into productivity and stuff like that. So maybe for typing, you could have editorial, which you mentioned today. So that, you know, people, because we always get this question, like, oh, what are the best apps for iPhone? What are the best apps for iPad?
Exactly.
So yeah, I thought it would be a good idea to you to list the app that we, all of us, IDB, team members use on a regular basis, or at least we have installed on our devices. So that, you know, if someone says, hey, what do you think is the best app for, for best Twitter app? Well, we can send them to this page, and then they will see that the best Twitter apps right now on this page are Tweetbot and Twitterific. And of course, you know, like this is, this could change in the future. We can add more, we can take some away. But yeah, I thought that would be a good idea. And that goes, you know, right back to the plan of talking about our favorite apps on the podcast.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it's a great show, guys.
Great first run.
Yeah.
Second first run, I guess we should say.
Yeah, you can say that. Yeah, I'm very excited for the future of this podcast. Hopefully it will be much more easier to subscribe to it too. Yeah, anything else do you guys want to add before we part ways?
Ooh, I have something.
Oh, what is it?
Oh, it's probably it's so funny because in my head I was like, Cody, you totally have to share this, but but now it's like, maybe not. Jeff can edit it out if it's not awesome, but we have been, I don't know if you heard, I don't think you heard, but if you heard like some faint crying in the background, we've been house sitting or puppy sitting 2 8-week-old, like, I think they're Shih Tzu puppies, but they're like 8 weeks old. They're so adorable. I've been posting pictures of them on Twitter and on Instagram, but they're my mom. She just got them this weekend, and we told her we'd take them to the vet for her today. And so we've been kind of watching them over the last 2 or 3 days, and their puppies are awesome.
Okay, I saw this on Instagram the other day, and I was like, this guy, look at him, he's so cute with his two little puppies. I could imagine like you riding your new huge truck with your two little puppies on the lap, you know, while you were riding the truck.
No,
I was like, oh my God, no.
Yeah, I meant to clarify, they're not mine. They're cute and all, and like I said, I love dogs, and puppies are, I don't know who could hate puppies, but I myself am a bigger dog person. I would like a boxer or, you know, some bigger dogs like this. But these two they're annoying because they're so small and helpless, but they're pretty cute.
Hilarious. So,
awesome. Yeah.
That's our puppy moment for the day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's what's going to make this episode very cute.
Yeah. Maybe
the cutest episode yet.
Tune in next week for more puppy talk.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right, guys. Well, I'm going to have to go. I've got family in town, my uncle, aunt, and my cousin, who's like my brother, actually here for a week. They're staying with us. So my office got transformed into an extra bedroom for my cousin. It's a little mess behind me, but it's fun. And we're going to go. I'm going to go take him out in town and do some visiting and some shopping and, you know,
there you go.
Spend their strong euro and turn them into cheap dolls, so that's good for them. Yeah, so this being said, that was a great time. As usual, it's always fun to spend some time and talk about our favorite topics with you. And I'm sure I'll talk to you again next week.
I'll see you later.
See you. Bye-bye.
Peace.